Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Ooh. What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back. We back in business. I'm 47 now. Last time I did verbal cardio, I was 46. I'm 47. Now, there's going to be some changes up in there. There's going to be some changes. 46 tone is a different person. You know what I'm saying? That Tony Baker you knew at 46, it's a different Tony now, man. I'm 47. I got a 7 back in my age now. I'm a fan of 7s. All right? Now that I got the 7 back up in my age, oh yeah. I'm going to be acting different this year. You know what I'm saying? And then once I turn 48, I'm going to go back to the old tone that you was used to for another 10 years. And then, inshallah, Lord willing, when I get back to 57, then I'ma switch the gears again. So on every 7, I'm switching. So 47 tone, y'all got to be ready for 47 tone. You're gonna get your feelings hurt. Some of y'all gonna get your feelings hurt. You ain't gonna like the 47 tone. You might not like 47 tone. You be like, can you bring 46? But nah. You wanna see some changes? Wait for the 48. Until then, hush. No games played. Sick of y'all this year. That's me all year. I'm sick of y'all. For 1 year. Okay? I'm back again. Co-host extraordinaire. Co-host extraordinaire. Water, you know what I'm saying? Gotta have a co-host extraordinaire, man. You know what I'm saying? One thing about the 47 tone, he's still gonna be rocking with this. That ain't gonna change. That right there ain't gonna change. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? That's gonna be the solid. It's gonna be the, you know, stand firm in that. Because without the co-host, without the water, there is no 47. Feel that. There is no 47 without the water. You know what I'm saying? You ain't making it to 47 without the water. Don't lie to yourself. Don't play yourself. Don't play yourself. You're not going to make it to 47 without the water. The co-host extraordinaire. How much water y'all been drinking? I want to know, man. How much water y'all been? How much water y'all had yesterday? Leah, on the ones and twos back here, filling in for Amir. How much water you had yesterday?
You know, I had probably about 6 of these.
You had 6 of those?
In a day?
How much is a...
That's a great question.
That's about a pint.
Is it? I actually have no idea how much.
I think that's 30-something ounces you holding right there. So you had 6 of those things?
I had 6 of those the whole day.
Is that your usual?
No, I've been very thirsty lately.
Oh, okay. Thirsty is
thirsty
pause.
For water.
Okay, thirsty for water.
Thirsty for water.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. What do you normally do?
Probably like 2, maybe 1.5.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not a good one.
I mean, it's not crazy, but you know.
It's not great.
You step it up just a little, just, you know.
I stepping it up.
You stepped it up yesterday. 6 is fantastic.
Six.
You.
I'm probably on like 3 today.
You had 3 today?
Yeah.
So you about to do 6 again. But your body might be changing.
Maybe.
Because something's you say you've been
on.
Thirsty a lot
something's
lately.
Something's going on.
Interesting. But that's good. I love the 6 in a day. I don't even know if I can do 6 in a day. I know y'all wasn't doing 6 in a day. But I hope y'all are drinking water. I hope y'all are loving life, man. I'm loving life. Had a fantastic birthday. It was great. It was phenomenal. It was probably my favorite birthday of all time. If I had to rank my birthdays, if I had to really think back and just take a step back and think about all my birthdays, this birthday is probably the best. It would probably be number 1 on the charts. You know what I'm saying? I don't remember all my birthdays like that because, you know, when you've had 47 birthdays, some of those birthdays are going to get lost in the sauce when you start, you know, to think back. But this birthday right here, probably the best birthday I've ever had. You know what I'm saying? Hands down. Hands down. I was in New Mexico. I was with the family. I was with my mom and brother and niece and nephew. I went out there. The day before Mother's Day, I got there. So I spent Mother's Day with moms. And then her birthday was 2 days after Mother's Day. And then my birthday was 3 days after hers. So it was a nice little week of celebrating, you know what I'm saying? Mother's Day, mom's birthday, my birthday. My brother's birthday is actually tomorrow. So it's just like a traffic jam of just like, we celebrate. I should have stayed out there longer because my brother's birthday is tomorrow. And then my nephew graduates from high school on the 24th. So it was just like, man, I should have just stayed here for 2 weeks. And I went to my in-laws, had a 50th wedding anniversary celebration. They wanted me to come to that. I pulled up and kind of hosted that. You know, my ex-wife set everything up. It was a nice little dinner ceremony, family vibe, and they just wanted me to, you know, host it. I was like, I'd be honored. So I pulled up, kept the show rolling. It was fantastic. So it was a nice little family recharge for me last week. It was what I needed. It was fantastic. I feel fantastic. My heart is full. There was so much family there. My son was there, of course. So it was just great. I went to Cracker Barrel. I gave in. I went to Cracker Barrel, y'all. I was just like, because listen, y'all know I've been on the roll with my diet and exercise. I've been eating the same things. But when in Rome, you know, and I don't want to be that guy to be like, yo, it's your birthday. It's just your birthday. I don't even want to soften the blow on that. I want to stay firm. But I was like, all right, it's my birthday. My brother made some homemade Filipino food. He made egg rolls. No, he made egg rolls. And he made garlic rice, and he made pancit. Now, I love Filipino food. Lumpia and pancit are like some of my favorite food of all time. I love pancit. And I got introduced to Filipino food. My oldest brothers, not this brother that made me the food, my oldest that lives in San Antonio, his first wife is Filipino. So, you know, growing up in Chicago's big segregation. So this introduced me to a whole nother culture I had no idea about. Like growing up in Chicago, it was mainly black and white. We lived on the black side of town. So, you know, and I didn't visit my grandmother that much. My grandmother's white, but she lived in Grand Rapids. So I didn't have a lot of access and exposure to the white side of my family. So to get the white experience, I had to go to different neighborhoods, like go up north or whatever. Oh, whites outside of like TV and movies. I could see whites. And so, you know, my mom's half white, but that didn't count. You know what I'm saying? It's like, look out, mom, you're not white enough. Where's the whites? And so then, you know, my oldest brother started dating a Filipino girl named Daisy. And what is this, Filipino? What does that mean? You know what I mean? And so that introduced me to, you know, the Philippines and like Manila and like, oh, that's where it is. Okay. Because we learned I was a kid, you know what I mean? And so we would go all the way up north to, you know, visit. He would have to take me with him. So it was like, yeah, we're going to Daisy house. So I would go with both my brothers all the way up there. We take the train down there. And so when you're going to people's houses, food is going to be on the table. And so I'm introduced to all these dishes, you know, these Filipino dishes. And I'm just like, what am I eating? And how can I get more of it? And I was just like, yo, this food is fantastic. The pancit was the pancit is my jam. I was like, what is this again? What is this? They was tired of me asking, what is this again? So ever since then, I was just like, yo, this food is phenomenal. You know, and then I was like, yo, I need to get me a Filipino girl too. If this is what we're doing, let me hook up with Daisy's sister. And I had a little crush on her sister. And she was a little bit older than me, and I'm sure she wasn't even remotely attractive, but I was just like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We can keep it all in the family, you know what I'm saying? My oldest brother got with your oldest sister. We might as well just, you know, pancit. And I was just trying to get in on the pancit. That's really what it was. I don't even remember what she looked like. She can walk in here right now. I would look through her. I don't remember what she looked like. I just remember the pancit. The pancit and the lumpia and the calgretta. And the halo-halo, I don't even know if the halo-halo was Filipino, but whatever, I wanted in on the foods. So that was my intro to Filipino cuisine. And, you know, ever since then, I've just been like, yo, whenever we can, let's get into it. And I remember when we went to Hawaii, There was this place called, it might be called The Good Earth or something like that, where they had vegan poncet. And I was just like, inject it into my veins. I just put it in there. Put it in there. And so, anyway, my brother made, he was in that kitchen like all day, pretty much. And he made the poncet with the tofu. It was really good. I tore it up. I had three helpings. And my mom was watching. My mom was clocking every food move I was making. Man, you eating fast. You already finished? Oh, you getting another plate? Oh, man, another plate? Just let me do this. Let me do this and hush, man. Let me go in. You know what I mean? And so I went buck wild. But I kept it light the day before because I knew I was going to go buck wild on my birthday. And then my mom's neighbor and friend Jackie made a vegan birthday cake for your boy. It was a chocolate vegan birthday cake. So I was like, yo, you made me a cake. I got to partake. Now, I don't know if y'all have known this about me. Here recently, I haven't been eating sweets. I haven't been eating outside of like natural fruits and sugars, like, you know, pure maple syrup or fruit. I haven't been eating sweets. So I was just like, all right. She made some banana bread already. I had a slice of that. And I was just like, man, come on, man. But she made the birthday cake. I had to indulge. I had to. It was a gift. And not trying to set me up for failure like Angel and Kev did when they sent me all that food. Not like that. That was a gift, but it was a shady gift because they were trying to sabotage what I was doing. But this was pure love. You know, they ain't seen me in a long time. We gonna do something for Tony's birthday. I had some big fat, big booty ass pieces of that birthday cake. That birthday cake was moist. It was good. It was perfect. I could have ate that whole cake. I wanted to eat the whole cake, but I was just like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? So I went in on my birthday. I went in, and people wanted me to go in, but I was like, man, y'all can shut up. Stop telling me to go in and slack off. I don't want to hear it, especially from slackers. Now, if you a slacker yourself and you telling me to slack, I'd be like, hush. I don't want to hear your mouth. You ain't got no discipline. You ain't got no consistency. Don't be telling me to slack off, because deep down they want me to slack off. Because they slacking off. So I'll be watching you. But when it's pure, when it's out of pure love, I'll be like, all right, you know what? I'll do it for my birthday. And if I'm going to slack off, I'm going to slack off on my own terms. All right? So I had to. So I went buck wild. I went buck wild and just had a phenomenal birthday. Best birthday ever. I didn't do much. You know, I just took my mom to the bank. You know what I'm saying? Did the mortgage thing. And, yeah, it was just fantastic. And for me, what made that birthday so dope was that I was able to give back to my family. That to me is the ultimate gift. Like, I want for nothing in life. I don't want anything. Like, all I want is peace, good food, good energy, good vibes. As far as like material stuff, I don't want anything. Like, when people ask me, what you want for your birthday? Nothing. I always say nothing. And it sucks when you want to get somebody something and they hit you with the nothing. Because I hate it when I ask, well, what you want for your birthday? Nothing. I'm like, because I can't create a gift. Like, I got to make one up on my own. I hate that. So I know I didn't make it any easier for my family when I was like, nothing. I got everything I need. So I was able to give to them. That was the gift. The gift was me being able to give back to my family. That was my birthday gift to me. It was like, yo, the blessing to be able to gift others was the gift. That was the ultimate birthday gift. It was my heart was full. I folded up about it, you know what I'm saying, in the car by myself. I was texting Sabrina. Sabrina knew I folded up, but she didn't see the fold. I folded. I was like, I was just telling her, you know, what I did, and then I folded. I was like, I've been waiting for this. I was in the car. I was at the light. Folgers crystals. But then I got my feet together now, you know what I'm saying? I went back over to the house to eat the poncet. But so I've been on 10 ever since then. I've been on 10. My energy's been fantastic. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. And then the fly out there was smooth. Like, because Clovis is a small town. Clovis got about 37,000 people in that thing. As soon as you get there, it smells like agriculture. Smell like we right up in the cow's booty cheeks. As soon as you get off the plane, like, oh, we going right into, you know how you got those little standing escalators where you just stand? It looked like I stood on one of those standing escalators right into a cow's booty cheeks. That was the smell. As soon as you just stand there and you just go in, you go right in. That's the noise it makes when you go in. If we right up in the cow's booty cheeks. And it's like that, like a couple times a day, you get that. We in here. We agriculture. You know, and so had to get used to that again. But it was a nice recharge. And when I go home to visit my family, I can dial it back. You know, I feel taken care of. I feel like the younger brother again, the son. It's just warm. And like, I feel like we need those moments. When you're out here being grown, you're out here being independent, you're out here holding yourself down and your family down, you need those moments where you could just be with family and you could just be like, almost like a kid again in a sense, because it's just like, all right, I could take my foot off the gas a little bit. And that's what New Mexico allows me to do. And there's not much to do in the town. It's not a big town. So I can just pretty much relax. I was still going to the gym. I was working out. And I was still intermittent fasting. So I was still doing my little routines. But I was chilling. And my mom's cats, man, they was getting on my nerves. My mom's cats, Jasmine and Blue, man, they was running from me all week. Jasmine was a little bit more, you know, friendly than Blue. Blue was just looking at me, come in the room and look at me and then just stare at me and then run off. I'm like, well, what are we doing? We're going to connect. We're going to interact. What are we doing? But you're not going to be looking at me. Now, either we're going to build or we not, but you're not going to be looking at me. And then when I talk and engage, you're going to run off. You can't have it both ways, cats. They was running. As soon as I would come in the house, they just take off running. I see them running around the corner. They was in there chilling with my mom. My mom be on the couch. They chilling with her on the cat tree and on the other chair. I walk in, they run. I'm like, man, what is this? Y'all gonna be punks all week. I get it when I first show up, because y'all like, who this tall, bald-headed man? But after day three, like, yo, I'm in here. I'm her son, man. You gonna have to deal with me. I was tired of them cats running, man. And then when I get home to my cats, I'm like, see, this is why I appreciate y'all, even though I'll be cussing y'all out. When I get home to my cats, soon as I open the door, Midnight is walking towards me. Soon as I open the door, it was like he knew I was coming before I even knew I was coming. He walking up, then Dapper come around the corner, and then he fall on his back, and then he turn his stomach over. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. They rolling up, they social. And that's not just me. It's like when you come to my house, as long as it's not too many people, let's say you come to my house solo, they're going to be on your neck. They're going to be like, who is it? Who? What we got here? What you got? What you got? Bags? You got stuff? What you got? Shoes? Take them shoes off. They on you. And so I'm like, yo, my cats are really social, man. They got on like the Great Gatsby, the Leonardo DiCaprio Great Gatsby tux and the little martini glass. He just like, Midnight will be on your neck. He'd be like, who is this? Who is, especially women. Oh, women, he on you. Women? Midnight be having his foot propped up like Captain Morgan. He'd be like, so how long, where you from? I like your hair. Your hair smells good. Huh? Is that cat I smell? You got a cat yourself. Huh? Who they are? You'd be like, who they are? How long you going to be here? You like Uno, huh? Yeah, I like games as well. I don't play them. My paws can't hold the cards, but you know, skip reverse. That's what they call me in the hood, skip reverse. You know what I'm saying? I say something, I skip you, and then I reverse it. I take it all back, and then you accept my apology. You know what I'm saying? You want to change my litter box? He'd be on you. Tough. And I'm just like, yo, my cats are really a rare breed out here, man, because they ain't running, they ain't no punks. They gonna be on you, man. So I appreciated them when I got back. And no disrespect to my mom's cats, they're great. And Jasmine, we semi-connected, But Jasmine kept running from me later on in the week. I thought we connected. I petted you. You rubbed your neck on me. You rubbed your neck juice on me and on my New Balance. You laying there with my shoes. Your scent is there now. We building. Nah, still running. Anyway, so it was a great week, phenomenal week. I got back yesterday, had a show at Flappers. I was on Kev's show. Me and Kev did a great thing where we were on stage together. We want to run a new Ball Brothers format past y'all for live shows. So we did the test run last night, and it was fantastic. It was me and him up on stage, and we interacting with the audience, and the audience bringing in suggestions and topics, and we doing that. We bringing people onto the stage. It was, y'all not ready for this. And you got to come see it live. When we take it on tour, you got to come see it live, because this is going to be, if you missed it, you missed it type of atmosphere. And it was fantastic. So did that yesterday. Then today I had the Daddy Issues podcast, and I got the Verbal Cardio, and then I got to do the X-Men recap. And I got to do the review for Planet of the Apes, whatever, the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And then tomorrow I got to start my colonoscopy prep again. Got to do all this again. So now I can't eat tomorrow. Can't eat tomorrow. When you're watching this podcast on Wednesday, I just know I can't eat while you're watching it. Everything's got to be clear. So I might do some Jell-O. I'm going to try that, but all day. Then I got to drink the solution again, take that with the booty pills. So now, since the solution didn't work last time, so they was like, yo, because when I tried to do it before, it wasn't clear enough. They was like, you supposed to be boo-booing pretty much water. And I was like, no, I still got vibrancy down there. It's still this colorful personality down there. They were like, nah, you don't sound clean enough. I mean, I could go in there, but it needs to be clear. And I was like, I was already plugged in with the IV. I was already plugged in. I was ready. I had the little shower cap on for no reason. They had me in the cap. I had on the gown, the booty out gown. I had the booty out gown on. I was laying there. And it's funny, whenever you go to the hospital and they got the IV in your hand, you can't help but to sit like you sick. It's just a natural hand placement. When that IV is here and you got the tape, automatically your hands look sick. You just, no matter what it's for, you could be doing fine. It could just be a routine checkup. But once you got that IV in and you sitting there, you just sitting like this. Whoever comes in that room, like, hey, y'all. Always the hospital sick hands. Now it's just, I got hours left of life. Hey, doc, give it to me straight. Your booty hole ain't clean enough. Okay, so we gonna reschedule. So now I had to do it all over again. So now I got to do a gallon of the booty liquid, and then they prescribed me the booty pills as well. So hopefully this will clean me out, because I'm forward tough in the stomach. I'm forward tough. Everybody's like, man, I was on the toilet all day. Me, not me. I drank it last time. I didn't go to the bathroom for like 5 hours. And then it was business as usual. It wasn't nothing crazy. I was like, man, my stomach too tough. That's why when people be like, yo, I had White Castle or I had a taco truck taco. I was on the bathroom all night. Like, why? Why y'all on the bathroom? Why everything sending y'all to the toilet? That's not me. That's not my ministry. That yellow dragon fruit gonna have you on the toilet. Not me. My toilet is adamantium in there. It's tough. So it just wasn't good enough. Now I gotta redo it all over again. And the way they set up everything is just so dramatic. It's like you gotta get a ride home. You can't take a Lyft or an Uber. Somebody has to pick you up. It's gotta be scheduled. We need the name of who's picking you up. We're gonna call you and set up the time for when your appointment is a couple days before. Make sure you answer the phone. We're not going to leave it on the voice. Y'all got too many rules, man. There's too much going on, man. Just get in there and get in my booty hole and hush. Just go in there, man. All this. Why I got to wait to find out what time it's going to be, especially when I got to set up a ride beforehand. Like, they called me today and left messages on my voicemail. Just leave me all the pertinent information on the voicemail. I'm giving you the clearance. This is not no top secret. Just tell me what time in the voicemail. Like, we've been calling you. Like, I'm not going to be able to answer the phone anytime you call. People grown out here. We got jobs. We got stuff we got to do. We got to turn our phone off. We got to put it on silent. I'm not sitting here laying on the phone. You know what I'm saying? Leave it in the voicemail. Yo, 11:30 tomorrow. Okay. Why I got to call back to get the info? Well, y'all making it more difficult than it has to be. Just let me know what time. I need to be ready and I'll be there. You could leave the instructions on how to do the juices in the booty juice. You be like, yo, take the booty juice at 5:30. Take that with two of the booty pills. And then, you know what I'm saying, take the next one before 7:30 the next morning. And then, you know, come in for your 11:30. Why can't you say that in the voicemail? It's so easy. It's so easy, man. You're making it more complicated. Now I got to call back. Now I got to get to the right department. Now I got to press one if you're looking for appointments and nurses. Press two if you're looking for accounts receivable. Press three if you need insurance. Press five if you just want to talk to somebody that's real. Now I got to do all this. And I'll be like, I'm returning somebody's call. Well, who called you? I don't know, man. Y'all called me. I don't know who it was individually. You know your coworkers. Who would be looking for me for the colonoscopy booty hole stuff? Man, if you would have just left all this in the voicemail, I would have known everything. Y'all being dramatic over there. But anyway, so I got to go back into that this week. Hopefully it's clear enough that they can go in. I need that Clovis, New Mexico booty hole. It's just straight cow butt. But I'm going to keep y'all posted just like I did last time. Hopefully, you know, we can finish the process and then I can, you know, walk y'all through the colonoscopy experience for your boy, because this is my very first one. So I'm nervous, but everybody says it's pretty smooth. They put you under. So, yeah, and hopefully everything's all right down there. You never know until you know. So, and they say you should do it when you're 50, but I'm doing it early, man. I'm like, nah, man, I would have did it when I was 46. Now I'm 47. They messed it up. I could have went in there 4 years earlier. Now it's looking like 3 years early, even though it's just, you know, a week and a half difference. But still, you don't know that on paper. It's going to say, when was your first colonoscopy? Like 47. You should have came here at 46. Well, I tried to. Then I had to reschedule to a week later. Now I'm 47. So we'll see what's going on, man. See what's happening down there. Shout out to my patron saints, first and foremost. I forgot to give y'all a shout out, man. You know, Mike Sincere, Shayla Butler, Nakia, 2 Jesse, Aries Torres, Sherry Tucker, Jay Thomas, Nana and Joe, Christian Olson, Kat James, Passionate for God, Chloe Franklin, Latoya Larkin, AJ, DJ's Travels, Mr. Hollis, The Quick, King Julius D, 2 Jesse, Nana P, Sharon McD, you know, the usual suspects. You know what I'm talking about, you feel me? Jay Gibson, Chris M. Just Rosalind, AJ, Kristen R. I appreciate y'all. QDB, M. Hollis, Nana P. Thank y'all, man. I appreciate y'all. I couldn't go live today because IG has got me in the shit house. So I'm sure y'all like that because y'all never like it when the IG live is in here anyway. Y'all always like, cut the feed. Well, it was cut today, shorty. But I ain't get no new members today. I didn't get no new members because Instagram wanted to play their little community guideline game. Community guidelines. Yeah, I got nothing. I got no new members right now because of Instagram shenanigans. So that's annoying. But because I always like to get 5 new members every time we do this. But since, you know, anyway. The Diddy video, we've all seen it. It's disgusting. That's all everybody's talking about. And then Diddy came out with an apology the next day, pretty much the next day, talking about how bad he felt and he wasn't looking for forgiveness or making excuses or whatever. Well, he kind of said no excuses, but then he made an excuse. I was in a dark place. It was a dark time. You goddamn right it was dark. It was big dark. You know what I'm saying? Putting hands on somebody with dark hands. It was just darkness all around. Darkness falls. Dark chocolate. Dark coffee, everything dark, dark man. You know what I'm saying? It was ridiculous. And so, you know, and the reason people felt like the apology was insincere is because he was denying the allegations before everything came out. So either you're going to deny or you're going to accept. The only reason you're accepting is because we saw it. Now you can't deny nothing. You can't deny nothing. We saw the tape. And you know what I'm saying? Ain't it? Bro. And I guarantee you this. If we were to see the Chris Brown, Rihanna tape, if there was a tape for that, actually seeing it, hearing about it, you can be like, well, it might not have happened. It might not have went down. Sometimes when you see certain things, you can't unsee it. Like when you see certain things, you can't unsee it. So when you see domestic abuse, domestic violence like that, it's impossible not to unsee that. You got to dig deep if you want to look past that. You got to know them personally. So if you don't know them personally and you ain't got no personal stakes in the person and you just see that, it was like me when I saw, you know, the Big Pun video of him hitting his wife in the face with a gun. I could never unsee that. It was just like, ah, man. And so now, you know, what Diddy did to Cassie, I can't unsee it, man. It's just disgusting. And the fact that some people need to see the visual is disgusting to me as well. It's like, I believe her now. Now I probably, oh, so you had to see this disgusting video to believe somebody. And that just disgusts me, man. It's like, when you don't know people personally, you're not the prosecutor, you're not an attorney, you're not working in the court of law, you're not working for law enforcement, you know, you're not the jury. Why do people have to prove stuff to you, a stranger from the outside looking in? You're just a spectator. You know, people don't owe you proof. You're just a spectator. You're not connected to the case. You're not connected to the victim or the perpetrator. So it's like, why do you personally need proof of any wrongdoing? And I get it. You know, some women do lie. Some women have lied and do lie on men. This happens. But I guarantee you, more times than not, women are not lying. You know, it's really women out here getting victimized out here, and they're not lying, you know. And then people always want to flip the script. Women do this to women as well, and men do it to women all the time. It's like, well, why was she wearing this? Why was she doing this? Why was she in that situation? Why she go back to him? Why they doing all of that? Why are you asking these questions? Like, why is that your knee-jerk reaction? Instead of just having like just a shred of just compassion, a shred of just like, oh man, that's, what if it is true? What if it is true? What side would you rather be on as a person that's not connected to any of this on a personal or professional level? Why not just lead with compassion? What are you going to lose? And what if they are lying? Big deal. Big deal. They lied to you. You believe what they said. Your heart was in the right place. I can live with that. If somebody says something, like remember when Jussie Smollett was like, yo, I got attacked and this, that. I was compassionate. I had compassion for that man. I was like, oh, man, that's fucked up, man. Oh, hell no, man. You ain't deserve it. Turns out he was lying. He lied to us all. I don't feel any type of guilt for believing him. Because I led with compassion. My heart was in the right place. Turns out he played us. I was like, you motherfucker. All these real victims out here, you out here playing games. But then when I hear a story of somebody else, my compassion is right back where it needs to be. And if they play me, they play me. I lose nothing. But I would much rather be on the side of compassion than the side of, well, prove it to me. I don't believe you. And then you find out they were telling the truth. Now you look like a jackass. Now you look like somebody's just like, man, you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me. Can you imagine how that feels for someone to come out and reveal what happened to them and you sitting there skeptical? You just like, man, I don't believe it. How are you going to look at that person on the other side? He's like, man, you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me when I needed somebody, just somebody, anybody to believe that my story was valid. You know, I've been out here a victim this whole time. Nobody believed me. I can only imagine what that feels like to just have people doubting your truth. Just because there's some bad apples out here that are lying, that are fabricating, that are putting the wrong people in jail, I would still much rather be on the side of just compassion, man. It's like, you know. And I know we don't want to be quick to condemn the innocent because there's two sides to that story. There is, if somebody is falsely accused, then it's like, no, but you did it. No, I really didn't do it. Yeah, you did. Now we back in that same boat. Oh, y'all didn't believe me. I was telling y'all the truth. I really didn't do it, but y'all didn't believe me. So you got that same energy. So I try to just be like, I'm compassionate for the victim. When we don't know who's telling the truth, I have compassion for the truth and the victim, the true victim. That's what I stand on, and that's what I lead with. And I'll be like, man, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so it's wild. It's big wild out here, man. But that video is out. Diddy, you might as well just take your rich ass somewhere and just sit down and just hide. If I was Diddy, and the tape is out, I'm going to just go in my little cave, my little multi-million-dollar cave, never to be seen again. I know you want to be out and be on the scene, but it's just like, you know what? I'm out, man. I might as well just disappear. I got money. What do I need to be out for anyway? When you worth, what, $800 million? What else you need to be outside for? If I'm worth $800 million and I put hands on a woman and y'all saw the tape, I'm out. I'm out. Y'all ain't got to look at my face. It's like this. I don't know if y'all have ever been in situations like this where somebody gets mad at you, they block you on social media, or they unfollow, right? They unfollow. They out. They don't want to see your face on their timeline for whatever reason. They pissed at you. I don't want to see your face. Well, let me help. Let me block. If you don't want to see me, let me block you. That way you're not even tempted to even look at what I'm doing, even check in. Let me help. Let me help y'all not look at me. I'm getting rid of my social media if I'm Diddy. I'm blocking everybody. I'm private now. My page is going to be gone. I'm worth $800 million. What I need Instagram for anyway? I'm out. Never to be seen again. I would just be rich and guilty. I would be rich, guilty, and remorseful if I'm really remorseful. You know what I'm saying? I would assume that he has remorse, but I don't know. The fact that he denied everything. Like, let's say I was in that situation. I put Cassie through hell. And then it's like, then when she comes out with the $30 million lawsuit or whatever, I would just be like, in that moment, I don't know, and he's legally not allowed to speak about Cassie, but in that moment, I would just be like, I did some whack shit, y'all. This before y'all would even see the tape. I'd be like, I did some whack shit out here. I was trash. That's why I'm, yeah. I was trash. I did some horrible things, y'all. And I regret them. And they'd be like, what horrible things did you do? Just trust me. I did some horrible shit, y'all. Y'all don't even want to know. But we want to know. No, you don't. You don't want no parts of this. Don't look at me. I'm hideous. That would be me. I'd be in the shadows. It's like, come on. Don't look at me. And then when the tapes come out, I told y'all. Y'all didn't want no parts of this. I did everything in the video. That was me in the video with the towel on. That was me in a towel, man. I was cutting up. I'm sorry, y'all. I told y'all didn't want to see it. But now that you see it, I'm shutting down my Instagram, man. I'm going into my little cave. I'm going to fly my private jet into the cave, never to be seen again. I would just get the groceries delivered. And I don't even want to see who delivers the groceries. I'm sorry, y'all. I tried to tell y'all, man. Now the tape is out, man. I told y'all. Y'all didn't want none of this. I'm sorry, y'all. I told y'all. And that would just be it, man. You got to take the L. Take the rich-ass L, man. Zane Montego asks, quitting your job. I don't know what you mean by this, but I feel like this is mad general. Quitting your job. I'm a job quitter. I don't know if y'all know this about me. If I don't like it, I'm out. I will quit in a New York minute. I'll be like, man, fuck this job. I'm out. That's me. That's the name of my debut album, Fuck This Job, featuring the hit single, No 2 Week Notice, featuring I'm Outta Here, with the classic ballad, I Don't Have to Do Shit, I'm out. I'm out. If you have a job that you hate, life is far too short. Your health is directly connected to your stress levels. If it's stressing you out, if it's bringing you down, get your... And I know, easier said than done, right? You got to make a living. You got to make money. I get that. I understand it 100%. But if there's a way that you could possibly get out of that job, if there's a way you can make it work to get up out of there the best way you can. If it's really draining your very life force, your essence, if it's messing up your mood, if it's messing up your personal life with your family members and loved ones, if it's affecting that, and it ain't even worth the money, you're not even getting the money's worth out of it either, you gotta quit. You gotta tap out. Life is too short, man. Before you know it, 20 years done went past. You look at yourself in the mirror, you don't even recognize who you're looking at because you've been getting beat down by that punk-ass job that you hate. You don't want to go out like that. You want a job that you can feel on some level, you can be like, I really like what I do. And I love talking to people that love what they do. Oh, I love it. Oh. When I be talking to people now, I'll be like, yo, you love what you do? And they be like, yeah. I'll be like, that's what I'm talking about, man. Because that's what it's all about, man. That's a big part of, like, what we want in life. People want, they want a companion, they want a partner, they want a family, and they want to do what they love to do. That, to me, is, like, just one of the main essences of life is just, like, how am I going to make a living, and will I enjoy what I do to make this living? And so I've quit McDonald's because McDonald's hired. I quit Stomping Spinach. I did that for a few hours. I was out of there. All right. I was working stock in the grocery store on base. The manager, he got mad at me and was rude to me one time. I was out of there. Second day. I don't like how he was talking to me. Out of there. You understand me? When I got my job at McDonald's, I really wanted to work at McDonald's. I was like, yo, man, I want to work at McDonald's. I want to be at the counter serving it up. They were like, nah, man, we're going to put you in the back. Breakfast shift. I'm like, breakfast shift? I wanted the prime real estate shift. I wanted the nighttime where I can see my friends and I can see people I know. And I want to be there like dinner time. You know what I'm saying? I'm dinner time. All this personality, you can't put all this personality in breakfast in the back. All this personality, do you see this? I'm a good time, man. You need me on that front counter. You need me on that front counter at 7 p.m. You know what I'm saying? They be like, man, they ordering extra stuff when they get around me. Tony, man, you a good time. You know what? Let me get the extra fillet of fish just because of this. You know what I'm saying? They had me in the back. Folding eggs and making the egg McMuffins. I'm just cooking the eggs. I'm looking at the counter from the back like, yeah, you're having a good time up there taking orders, connecting with people. Service with a smile, that's me. Service with a smile It's me all day. I'm going to make you feel good about yourself for even being in there. How you doing? You good today? Come on. This? Imagine seeing this when you coming in as a customer. How y'all doing? Y'all good? What can I get for y'all? Okay. Okay. And number five?
All right.
You want to supersize that? All right. Get the whole family. Oh, you getting the Happy Meal. You got to get that Happy Meal. We got some good toys in there this week, too. You're going to love that. Did you see Shrek? Yeah, we got the Shrek toys in there. That's a good. Lee having a good time right now. She ordering right now behind the camera. She just got a quarter pounder with cheese and fries.
I don't even eat meat.
She don't even eat meat, but because I'm having such a good time, you know what? Filet of fish. You going to get dessert, too? Sunday, we got the hot fudge Sunday, we got the caramel, we got the strawberry. Strawberry, yeah, that's my favorite one too. Uh-huh. You want the peanuts or no? We'll put the peanuts on the side, a little baggie. That's a good ass time at the counter, man. Customers want to feel like we're happy that you're there. Ain't nothing worse than you go to a food place or any type of place. And you feel like you're bothering the employees. You feel like they don't want you there. You just be like, man, well, you know, could I possibly have morsels? If it's not too, we feel like we begging. We in there paying customers, man. So they had me in the back, breakfast shift. I had to be to work at like 4 a.m. And this is party, so this is young Tone. This is young Tony, man. I'm partying nightly. I'm out in the streets. I'm out here, man. I was 18, 19, new freedoms. Trying to reap the benefits on being able to stay out with no curfew, man. Now I got to go in. I got to leave the party early because I got to be to work at 4. I had to be in there at 4:45. Man, sometimes I would just come straight from the party right to work. Mad luggage under my eyes, man. I had the Toomey bags right here. Samsonite, Toomey, another brand I don't know nothing about, man, from Ross. And I'm just in there folding eggs, and I got to do the dishes after, man. So I told my supervisor, I was like, hey, man, how can I get to that front counter, man? Put me up front. He'd be like, nah, man, we ain't got the space right now. I quit. To put in my 2 weeks. No, in that moment, when he said we can't do it right now, man. I was like, all right. And I was spraying the dishes. You know, that big, oh, all right. Spraying the dishes down, pissed. I was like, all right, 2 weeks notice. So I had some friends over at Dairy Queen, Veronica, that was my homegirl. She was working at Dairy Queen. I was like, yo, Veronica, hook your boy up, man. Let me get over there. So she secured an interview. I had an interview with Sharon. I was like, yeah, I'm at McDonald's right now, but they don't know what they got. They got me in the breakfast shift, man. They got me back there folding eggs. Uh-huh. They got me folding eggs in the back. I want to be fierce to fierce. I want to be fierce to fierce with the customers. You feel me? You feel the vibe, Sharon. You, man, you see what it is. And then I started smiling and showing up what I would look like at the counter. Like, they hired me. They hired me. I was working the drive-thru. Put me on the drive-thru. Customer service, baby. You come to that window, you get me. You order your chicken finger basket and a blizzard, guess who you pulling up on? Me. Service with a smile, goddamn. People pulling up. Tony, you still working Dairy Queen? I'm going to pull up, man. Pull up. I'm bringing customers in, man. Sometimes I would even work the counter. If the counter was short and, you know what I'm saying, they was getting their asses kicked, I would show up at the counter, man. Yeah, I got y'all. I've been waiting for this. I was at Dairy Queen for 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Put my time. I was late, though. Don't be laughing at me, man. I was late all the time. I wasn't late in the beginning, but then when you get comfortable, you start being an all-star, start working it, man, you know what I'm saying? The place can't run without you. You get that up in your mind. What would y'all do without me, man? Dip the goddamn dilly bars. Let's get it. I was late. And then, and I was so cool with the managers that they wasn't tripping. So I remember a new manager came in and he was just like, he changed my my work shift to 15 minutes later, right? And so he did that. 15 minutes later, I was still late on top of the extra 15 minutes. That's when it was the last straw at that point. He was just like, I got to let you go, man. You just always late. I was like, man, fuck you. That was my mind. That was the attitude. I was like, I acted like he did something wrong when he was dead within his rights to fire me a long time ago. But since he was new, I feel like I had to play the hard role. Oh, that's what we doing out here? Hmm? You think you could do this shit to me? Hmm? You know who I am? I'm Sonny Rothmiller. But nah. So I got fired. They let me go. I tried to go to unemployment. But luckily, you know, I got a job super quick after that. Probably like 2 weeks later, I was working in InMerge with the mentally disabled. So your boy, let me tell you something. Your boy can get a job. It's just whether or not I want to stay in that job. But once I get a good job, I can stay there forever. When I went to New Mexico State, I was working at the Department of Black Programs for like, it's embarrassing how long I was at New Mexico State. First of all, I don't even want to, because you're supposed to be in and out of school in like 4 years if you just get your bachelor's, or, you know, you're going for your master's to get you six. But I was like, I was working at the Department of Black Programs in the Activity Center, which is the gym on campus, about 7 years. No degree. I worked all that time, no degree. Y'all not gonna judge me, man. Listen. So what, I ain't get a degree and I was at the school working on campus for 7 years, man. Look out. I know it was a long time, maybe 6 years, but regardless. I held them jobs down, you hear me? I was at the Activity Center for mad long, man. I was in the Department of Black Programs for mad long. I be good at jobs as long as I'm feeling it. If I'm feeling it, I'm in there. If I'm not feeling it, I'm out. I worked at Village Inn for one day. I worked at Village Inn for a solid day. They was training me that one day. I'm like, okay, it's showing me the ropes. I was like, yeah, this is great. Listen, I want to go visit my mom for Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? And Clovis was about 5 hours from Las Cruces. They wouldn't give me the time off for Thanksgiving. I quit. I was out of there. How dare you not give me the time off, even though I'm just starting? How dare you? Who do you think you are to where you're not going to give me the time off I require, even though I'm literally on my first day? How dare you? I quit. Never went back. I went to visit my family, never returned to Village Inn. I came back to Village Inn like nothing happened and got some pie. I came in there like a customer, like it was like we never had any type of interaction. Didn't you work here? No. What are you talking about? Did that one dude on campus look like me? Let me get the banana cream pie. That one dude that looked like me? Yeah, that wasn't me. I quit. I worked at this place where I forget what it was called, but everybody was working there. And it's a place where people call to get information to get the phone numbers, right? They'd be like information. They'd be like, I need the number to such and such in such and such. That was us that they would talk to. So I did the training for 2 weeks. The training was fire. The training was fun. Then once I got into the actual job itself, and I'm in that thing, and it's just so boring. I was just like, and I was falling asleep. I was like, I quit. I was out, man. The job was boring. I was out. I quit. So, yeah, man. Yeah. I would quit a job. So if you're in a job right now that you don't like, you can't stand it. It's not for you. It's draining your energy. It's draining your very life force. It's causing you stress. It's causing you depression. It's causing you dismay. If there's any possible way you can get up out of there and still be able to function and live, get out. Find something else. Find something. Don't give up searching for something else. If it's something else that you want to do, don't give up that search. Even while you're in the job that you can't stand, don't give up the search for something else, because you never know what other door is going to open. And I know it's reckless and easy for me to tell somebody else to quit their damn job, but I'm telling you, man, your livelihood and your peace of mind is valuable. It's so valuable. It trumps your mortgage. It trumps your rent. It trumps everything. Your peace of mind eventually is going to, it trumps everything. And I know you got a family to raise, and you got to put food on the table and clothes on your back. But man, the internal struggle, though, is I always feel bad. Like when people hate their jobs, I'll be like, I want you out of there. So yeah. I'm compassionate, though. I'm here. Are you a quitter, Lee? You be quitting?
Oh yeah.
Quits McGee.
Oh yeah. You gotta get out.
You gotta get out.
You gotta get out.
If you're not feeling it, get your ass up out of there. And you got a family, don't you?
I do.
And you will quit in a minute.
I will quit. That's enough of that.
Life is too short. You can look your kids in the eyes and be like, listen, I quit. I wasn't feeling that job, and I got the hell up out of there and found something better. It doesn't mean you're lazy either. It just means that you want something else. You want something different. You want something you can feel. Now, if you're laying around not looking for work, then you just lazy. I ain't talking about laziness. That's a whole nother different episode of Verbal Cardio. Because some people are truly lazy. But if you know you be working, and you know you just got to connect with the source material. So quit your job, Sheldon. You don't want to work yourself into an early grave. And then you looking back with regret. When you in that hospital bed and they get the IV in your hand and you laying like this. And you like, man, I should have quit that job. You don't want to have that regret on your soul. I knew I should have quit. Next thing I looked up, man, was 30 years later. I'm still at that punk ass job. They never even cared about me. And some jobs don't even care about you. They could care less about your soul. They could care less. They're just using you, stripping you down. And I know y'all gonna be looking at me like, Tony, it's easy for you to say you love what you do. But hey, man, look at what all I had to go through to get to where I love what I do. I went through all them jobs. I had a lot of jobs. I got fired from Hastings, a little CD movie place. They fired me because they changed my schedule around without me knowing, and then they fired me because I didn't show up. I'm like, y'all didn't tell me that y'all switched the schedule. You're fired. I was like, all right. I worked at Best Buy. I quit Best Buy because we moved. But other than that, Best Buy was cool. You know, I worked. Initially, they had me in digital imaging, like the camera section. I didn't like it. I wasn't passionate about the cameras. But once they moved me to media, that's where I shine. Well, I can tell you about the movies and the CDs. Can I help you find something? I was the king of making it look like I was busier than I was. When you walk around, you looking busy, they be like, oh, Tone, busy. Like, I wasn't doing nothing. I was stalling for time. But I love that job. I made them some rice pudding. Anyway, let me do one more topic. Oh, I like this, Kobe. This or that. Claire Huxtable or the OG Aunt Vivian? This is tough. OG Aunt Viv is fire. She was better than the new Aunt Viv. But Claire Huxtable is the queen of TV moms. She is the GOAT. She is the number one, the numero uno. Claire Huxtable checked every box. She was funny. She didn't take no shit. She had a great job. She was warm. She had a great laugh. When it was time to set these kids straight, she wasn't putting up with no shit from them kids. And I feel like we lose that from parents on TV shows now. It's like these kids are talking reckless, and the parents ain't cracking that whip. Claire Huxtable was like, let me tell you something. That was her. Let me tell you something. I was like, yo, Claire Huxtable plays zero games. You wanted her to be your mom, and if you was old enough, you wanted her to be your woman. It was the double whammy. It was the double. Like, when you look back on the Cosby Show as a grown man, you're like, man, I want a wife like that. When you watched it as a kid, she reminds me of my mom. I want a mom like that. Claire Huxtable is the queen. Absolutely, 100%. 100%. Keisha Lewis asked me, what are your favorite things to do in the summer? What type of activities? My favorite thing to do in the summer is go to the movies. Going to the movies when it's hot outside is the best. It's the best. That AC be pumping. You just be in there. You forget about how hot it is outside till you leave the movie theater. He was like, God damn, I forgot it was doing this out here. I will double feature it up. You know, the movie, the type of movies that are coming out, the big tent pole films is coming out. Lock me in that movie theater, Shorty. Prime AC. And then I come out, you know, sometimes I've gone to the movie sometimes for a full day and just be in there. That's my favorite thing to do in the summertime. I also enjoy, like, I like a good road trip. Like a nice road trip with good company, and we just adventuring it up, little adventures, and like ending up in strange places at night. You're like, where the hell are we? Yo, this is dope. So stuff like that. I like road trips with a good group. The group is very important on a road trip. I'm not talking about taking flights. I'm talking about getting in the car or van. And just going somewhere. And, you know, mad comedy in the vehicle. Having a good time. The music is flourishing.
Who gets the music choice?
Oh, now, see, that's important. The person driving is the DJ. Or, if they want to hand over the reins, they can. But the person driving gets musical seniority. No matter what. Even if you don't agree with the taste of music, you got to take it because they driving. They got to be stimulated. They got to be the ones, you know what I'm saying? You can't bore the driver or else you're going off a cliff saying O'Doyle rules. You don't want that. So hopefully you're riding with somebody with a similar taste in music to you. Because I would hate to ride with somebody and they got death metal on. And it's all, I'll be like, I would just roll out of the vehicle. I'll just be like, I can't. You see me rolling in the rearview mirror. There's no way I could sustain listening to that for 5-6 hours. I can't. So I'd be like, do your thing. I'll meet you there. And I'm rolling in the rearview mirror. I would hitchhike with a serial killer. He could pull up. You need a ride? I do. Scoot over. I'll sit on your lap. What you be listening to? I just listen to my thoughts and the voices in my head. I was like, you know what? That sounds like a great soundtrack. To Sacramento, sir. What about you? What are your favorite things to do in the summer? Give it to me.
I also love a good movie. I think that's one of the best things about living in LA, though. Every day is a movie day because Absolutely. It's always nice out. So 100%. you can go whenever you want.
100%. And there's so many movie theaters here. You want to do an art house film? They got theaters for that. Mm-hmm. You want to do something big time? They got the theaters for that. And you can find a theater semi-close. Definitely. Wherever you live, the theater is not going to be too far. Mm-hmm. What, anything else?
Beach.
The beach.
I love the beach.
Are you about that beach life?
I love it. Go there all day.
Oh.
Pack a sandwich. Ooh. Just laying out.
What kind of sandwich?
I would do like a deli sandwich.
Okay.
Like a nice bread.
Yeah.
Do you know Bay Cities in Santa Monica?
No.
Oof, they have good bread.
Really?
Really crusty.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those places where you got to know what you want right away. Take a number. They don't, no bullshit. What do you want? Come on.
Oh, it's
no
like
substitutions.
That.
Let's
Ooh.
Go.
Ooh. Yeah. So you got to be ready when you go in there.
You got to know what you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that energy.
Because
usually that energy is the best food.
Yeah.
Like, hurry up, man. You know what it is. Come don't on. Come in
it's
here.
The same every time.
Don't
what
ask
do
me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You ask them questions, like,
yeah. Yes,
that's just refer to them. This is all we got right here. What we doing? Yeah. They looking through you. They looking at the next person. Yeah. They counting the line. They're like,
and all the other people are like, "Is this your first time?
Come on, man.
Yeah,
it's like the soup Nazi almost.
Yes, exactly.
But when you get that sandwich with the crusty bread,
so good
on the beach,
you let it sit for a minute. Let those juices kind of.
Oh man, here's a. Now I don't know how popular this opinion of mine is. When I have a sandwich, I like for it to sit in life for a little bit. I like for it to be like, because I know a lot of people be like, I don't like how the cheese is because it's been sitting. I like it when the cheese sat.
A little soggy bottom, boys.
Man, where it just sat and it's like room temp. And you just like, man, I forgot about this sandwich. And then you just, on the beach.
Yes.
I wish I liked the beach more.
You don't like it?
What I prefer are bays and docks.
Ooh.
That's my flavor. Like, I don't need the sand.
Okay.
I like to be at the dock of the bay, just like leaning on the wood and just like reflection.
Put your little toes in.
Man, just ever so gently. Or it's like, you know, you got the little sidewalk right next to the water. So you got two big chunky rocks that you can sit on and just be like, that's my flavor. And those walks where you can walk along the beach, but it's concrete, but the water's right there, and you just like, but it's not too hot. Yeah. Summertime in that Cutlass, man. Summertime in San Diego is attractive business. That's attractive business. And then one more question. I'm going to get the hell up out of here, Shawty. This or that from Tanisha Turner. For $70 million, would you shoot a Patreon member or a baby?
Whoa.
Tanisha Turner, you dark with this one. Damn. For $70 million. And I can't pick neither. We not going soft. See, because a baby is not going to be a patron saint.
You don't know that?
I mean, it could be in the future,
you
but they're not
its life,
current.
It will be.
But I got to wait.
That's true.
I got to wait for them to come around. I might not even have the Patreon by the time they get to that age.
You can't shoot a baby, Tony.
Why not? They haven't earned anything. They haven't earned anything. They haven't established anything.
They didn't ask for any of this.
They didn't ask for this. And they just got here. They don't even know what they're missing yet. They don't know what they're missing yet. I mean, they are the epitome of pure innocence. But what are they really bringing to the table?
Or do they know more than we do? How old is this baby?
I'm assuming the baby is not talking yet. Because it's like when you think about those movies where it's survival, zombie apocalypse, whatever, they're trying to survive, and there's always a baby.
First of all. Ugh.
The baby is a liability every time. They're not going to help you. They're not gonna help you find supplies. They're not going to help you build shelters. They're not going to hunt. They're not going to do nothing.
In fact, it's going to give your position away.
Exactly.
You have to get supplies for it constantly.
Constantly.
Yeah.
They definitely going to make noise when the zombies is looking. The zombies is looking for y'all. Y'all hiding in the little storage closet.
They had that baby in a quiet place with an oxygen mask. I was like, just stop. Just so that's enough.
The baby made life harder.
Oh my God.
The baby made life harder. Now those of y'all in the Chatsworth, y'all getting too sensitive now. Y'all getting too sensitive. Y'all getting too soft talking about the next question. Nah, man, we got to deal with this.
Duct tape the baby.
Duct tape for how long? That baby got to breathe. YouTube's gonna delete this episode.
You're gonna be back in jail, Tony.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Huh. Why would you ask this, Tanisha? Like, what was on your mind with this one? But you know what? Ultimately, The patron saint, y'all had a good run. You had a good run. You know what I'm saying? I want to give this baby a chance to experience life. You've experienced enough life to where you even became to become a patron saint. You've experienced a lot of life to get here. So I might just pick off that patron saint. It's going to hurt. But I mean, it's a baby, man. You got to give the baby a chance. So I'm going to lose out on that bread. Yeah. That was a wild question, though. Wild question. Tanisha, you might be banned from questions for like a week. I might have to throw you in the penalty box because that was just, where you get that from? Where you get that question from, Sheldon? Anyway, I want to thank y'all for being in here. I appreciate y'all. You say I've changed now to Pete? What you mean? You thought I was going to pick that baby, didn't you? Because in the zombie apocalypse, I'm getting rid of the baby. The baby is a liability. You got to survive. Because let's say you sacrifice your life for the baby. Now you're dead and the baby's just laying there helpless. Your sacrifice was in vain. You know what I'm saying? You got to think about that. Oh, which saint would I do? Oh, now you're digging too deep. I got to go with Tanisha. I got to go with Tanisha Turner. Since she asked the question, she's the one I got to take out. But she's so dope, though. She's so supportive, and she be asking good questions, except for this one, that it's tough. I might have to go with, like, a different patron saint. I might have to go with a patron saint that's barely in, a patron saint that doesn't come to the movie nights and doesn't really indulge in the chat. It's got to be one of those fly-by-night, you know, patron saints that's just barely up in here. 2 Jesse is volunteering that I shoot her. That's wild, 2 Jesse. I can't shoot Jelsey. I'm going to go with Bacina don't be working. You work in the morgue? Oh, okay. I don't know which patron saint it would be, but I would have to sit with that. Anyway, let me get the hell up out of here. This is a long episode, hour and 11. I want to thank y'all for pulling up, man. Shout out to Leah for holding down the ones and twos in here and making me hungry with that sandwich story. Now I'm thinking about crusty bread and sandwiches and the beach, toes. I want to thank y'all, though. I want to thank y'all for tuning in to another session of that verbal cardio. We out.